Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Women!
Hello and welcome to Toku Podcast with me, Kate.
And me, Holly.
Yay! I've done it again. Terrible intro.
Okay, no, it was good. It was good until you acknowledged that it was terrible.
I get anxious. I'm sorry. Okay, so What are we going to talk about?
Well, speaking of anxious, you have just finished a talk about anxiety in games, and it was really good.
Nice segue. Yeah. Thank you very much. It was exciting. You don't get to hear it, though, because you weren't there.
No. Do they record it? I think they record it.
Yeah, but Jake said it will go up at some point during the month, so...
Okay. So keep an eye out for that, people.
Yes. Oh, we normally start with a question, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Good point. Oh, my God. How have we forgotten?
Fill in the time. We're going to find a question.
Well, we're now on episode 5, everybody, and I think...
5. It's gone
really quickly, and hello to anybody who's a new listener. You may be shocked to find out that it is literally just me and Kate talking for an hour. And looking out for questions that Kate is just picking up now.
No, I'm not. I'm not on the internet. Oh, this has gone terribly.
This is what happens when you start. We get thrown.
We've even got a live audience this time.
Yeah, I know. Just sitting there on their 3DSs. Like the scum they are.
Nerds. Just to point out, we've got the Joes as our...
Yes. We've got Joe Squared.
Which is the name of their band, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, the questions are nearly ready. Are you ready for the questions?
Yeah,
I'm ready. You the first one I look at. Okay. Rob Smart says, if you could replace any game character with a cake, which would it be and why?
A cake?
I'm going to replace the weighted companion cube with a cake, because hopefully that would kill all of the memes.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one. Whenever I get a question like this, I just try and glance over at my game collection, but I don't have my glasses on, so I'm kind of guessing.
Yeah, plus I can't read any of those even with glasses on. I can read The West Wing and Battlestar Galactica.
I would replace the president in The West Wing with a cake.
Could you imagine them doing like the long corridor walks just with a cake on a plate? Just being like, well, president, what do you think about that?
If it wasn't on a plate, you'd push it along and it would gradually just wear down and start crumbling away.
The president's dead!
Oh no! And everyone's just sat there just wailing over a kind of half.
Stop walking him into the carpet!
Just like Battenberg everywhere all over the White House.
God damn it.
There you go, that's the answer to my question.
This is what happens when you have a Battenberg president, okay? The world's not ready!
It was an outside choice, but he made some really good promises.
Or she. Let's not be cake sexist, Holly.
Sorry. That is one of my many flaws.
So, there we go. We've answered your question in a very bizarre way, but you know.
So what have you been up to, Kate?
What have I been up to? Well, I did a talk just now.
Very good.
Literally like 2 hours ago, we had McDonald's.
We did have McDonald's.
Yeah, and we're being paid sweet McDonald's money to mention that on the podcast.
Yeah, because McDonald's really need the push in advertising. Yeah. They're really slacking
from
on
our
that.
Tiny, adorable podcast. Yeah, they're like, you know what we're missing? The biscuit demographic. You did win a sugar donut, though.
I did win a sugar donut.
Which sounds unpleasant. I don't know why.
Yeah, it just sounds like just sugar. There's no donut in it, it's just sugar in the shape of a donut.
Delicious. Do you want to know a donut fact?
Always.
So I found out the other day that if you have a hairy donut, you can brush it so that all the hair goes in one direction. What? Fun donut facts.
Why would you have a hairy donut? What, like, it's incredibly mouldy?
Well, if it's a science thing. So I didn't really understand it.
It has
fully.
No parting. Because it can all go the same direction.
If you have a hairy ball,
yes.
No matter how you comb,
there has to be a starting point.
A tuft.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a hairy donut, you can carefully comb so that all the hair kind of scoops around in a stylish quiff.
Like a kind of comb over.
Yeah, but on a donut.
Nice.
It's not really a comb over because it's got a hole in the middle.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a very good comb over if that's the case.
Through.
A comb through.
Yeah.
What am I doing? I'm not doing much at the moment because I've just been finishing coursework deadlines because I'm really boring. But I've started replaying. I went through the DS and 3DS collection recently and I was picking out games I haven't played yet.
Yeah.
And I've just started. I've played about an hour and a bit of Mario & Luigi Dream Team.
Ooh, yes. Oh, I love the colours in that game.
Yeah, it's a really pretty game. I was playing it and I was like, oh, this is... And the music's really nice. I mean, not like I was expecting any different from a Mario game, but I was like, oh, this is really... Except that it's kind of one of those things where, like, it's been ages since I played a Mario & Luigi game. I think the last game I played, our cartridge was corrupted. I think it was on the Game Boy Advance.
Was that... That wasn't Inside Story, because I had that happen 3 times to me with that game.
It was the one with the witch.
Superstar Saga?
I think so. Superstar Saga has the purple witch in it, and it would break when it got to a certain point for some reason.
Maybe that's just the thing with the Mario & Luigi RPGs, that they're all broken.
Maybe they're just
part of the game.
They just self-destruct.
They decide whether or not you're worthy when you put it in. They read all the other games you've played and they go, no, you're not ready for this, Jelly. That's how games talk.
Yeah. They go for all the little, you know, sayings and stuff. You're well, gel. Gel bells are ringing.
But this is the Game Boy Advance, so that was, like, way before all this terrible slang existed.
Yeah, pretty much. There was other terrible slang.
What were we saying in, like, 98 or whenever the Game Boy Advance was out?
Definitely later than 98, I think.
I'm not good at guessing years.
No.
Anyway, back in the day when we were wee mites.
Yes.
We were saying things like, oh my god, lol, that's so random.
Yes, random. It's so random, it's broken, it's really random. It's not random because I shoved a fork in it.
Yeah. So that's what we've been up to. If you can get anything out of what we just said. What should we do now? What do we do now?
Shall we do challenges now?
But it's so soon. Well, we've only been going for like 10 minutes.
Shall I say, I've got...
6 minutes.
Oh my god, I've got a broken toe.
Yeah, talk about your broken toe and how clumsy you are.
It's really not that exciting. I broke one of my... It's really annoying. Cause it's just a really frustrating injury to have. Because it's like... pathetic, so it's just like a teeny tiny little toe, and it's basically just like a bruise, and I'll show you later, it's well gross. but like, it just gets in the way, like you'd be walking along, it's like, oh, my toe hurts.
Like, if you can imagine having a blister on your toe, which happens more often.
Yeah.
It's like that, but
more.
But it's your bones.
Yeah.
Your bones are blistered.
Ooh, that sounds nasty. I'm imagining sort of like The Last of Us now, like Last of Us toe.
Yeah,
like horrible stuff coming off.
I mean, I've not played The Last of Us, so I'm pretty sure it's about toes.
The Last of Us?
I don't have a PlayStation. Oh. That's not just me being on brand, I just don't have one. I've never had a PlayStation.
It's a horrible
actually.
Game, it's not Xbox, it's not run by green slime.
Yeah.
That's how I imagine every Xbox game is.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, speaking of PlayStation, the one thing that sticks in my mind about PlayStations is the most terrifying startup noise. The PlayStation 1. When it started up, it was like...
Okay, I don't remember that. I quite like the...
I'm going to find it.
Was it the PS3 that had the kind of like tuning orchestra? I like that one. That's a good startup noise. That is a quality startup noise. Although we all know the best console startup noise is the GameCube. Because that's just the best one. You know the GameCube one where it's like the little square going around the cube and it's like...
Oh, yes! That is great. Okay,
that is a quality
so I'm going to play you the original.
Okay.
I think it's on full volume, so you should be able to hear it.
Oh,
it's just this really creepy, like,
oh, that's so 90s. It looks like the start to a video that they'd show you in school.
Yeah.
About, like, why photosynthesis is important.
The thing is, that noise makes me excited. Because, like, that noise happens, and even though I'm like, oh, this is a horrible noise, I'm still like, Crash Bandicoot, baby!
So I used to be terrified as a kid. Do you remember the old BBC, like, you know, the BBC has like starting things, like tunes and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you remember the one that was like, it must have been in the 90s, and it was like a wavy rainbow BBC, and it'd be like, do 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 do.
Yes.
Yes, that terrified me. That terrified me.
Yeah. They always go on for slightly longer than you expect, and you're like, when is this
going to have to, when I was little, I used to have to leave when that was like at the beginning of a video, I'd press play on the video and run out the room.
There's a lot of noises. Like, for some reason, the 90s has a lot of creepy noises.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit scared of Simply Red for that reason.
What?
I don't... Whenever they come on, I'm like, oh, this is creepy for reasons I can't quite explain.
Did you just have a traumatic moment of Simply Red playing in the background?
I think I must have done. Like, I have some kind of repressed memory to do with Mick Hucknall. And, just maybe Ginger People... I don't know. I also really used to hate Mumbo Number 5.
What?
Because at the end of the chorus, he goes like, a little bit of you makes me your man. And the first time I saw it was on Top of the Pops, and he pointed at the camera.
Yeah.
And me being quite young, I was like, ah, he wants me to join his, like, sex dungeon of women. Oh, no. Obviously not in those terms. I didn't know what a sex dungeon was.
No.
Probably.
I just looked over there. I got a message on my phone. I looked over, and a message that just from Sam White that just said, why is everyone getting their fannies in a twist? It was like, wow.
About what?
Oh, it's about the, to not make him sound like such a horrible person.
He is,
it's about, have you seen the Protein World stuff? You know, the, I just looked over and was like, what? But that's just Sam White.
Basically, it's like, are you beach body ready? And it's this, like,
really
sexy,
slim
skinny
woman.
Yeah, and it's like, you should drink protein or everyone's going to look at your body and laugh, you flabby weirdo. And
I know. Yeah, I mean, so if you go onto the beach now, you will be gunned down.
Yes, because you are not beach body ready. Your body is not a beach body.
Your body is not ready. It cannot repel bullets. You are not prepared for us.
Just spilled tea all over myself.
Nice. Yeah.
The only way you would be beach body ready is if you were a whale, a literal whale on the beach, because you're really fat. Drink protein.
But it's like, have you seen, and then they'd be going on like a Twitter rampage.
Oh, God, yeah.
Kind of saying like, oh, don't you realise you're a feminist and no one takes you seriously? And it was,
yeah,
like,
they're essentially just digging themselves into a big PR grave, which is kind of sad. Because it's
but then it's also a massive promotion, I guess, for them. Apparently they've got a shitload of like new followers and stuff, because I guess controversy equals, you know, attention equals followers.
But all their new followers are the kind of people that are completely okay with calling the people who wrote on these posters things like, you're beautiful no matter what you look like, they've called them terrorists and extremists.
Yes.
And their new followers are going, yeah, you know what? People who write on posters are basically terrorists.
They are the
totally
same
agree.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to drink all these protein shakes now. I'm going to get buff just because I hate poster terrorists.
I just live off protein shakes. In fact, I'm going to just take the posters and wrap them up and just eat them with my protein shake as a massive act of terrorism.
Yeah. Take that, poster feminists.
Take that.
I'm going to eat your words. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been influenced to buy something off a tube poster, because they're always a bit weird.
No, they're always quite strange, and they're always I don't know why there's so many single ads, like like adverts for
Match.com.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, sorry, I just hit the microphone, so apologies.
The ones where they're like, imagine if everyone on this train carriage was single, and you're like, that would make no difference to my day.
And it was like, imagine if everyone on here secretly wanted to have sex with each other.
Yeah.
Like, I'm what?
Yeah, imagine that. It would still be as awkward as it is now. Like,
if not more, because then if someone moves away from you, it's not because that they, you know, maybe they have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or maybe they're just, you know, not interested. You definitely know they're single. You definitely know they're looking for someone, and they still avoided you.
Yeah. I mean, these are people you're, like, touching butts with. And
what?
They, you know, on the tube when you're like,
what do you do on the tube?
I just touch everyone's butt.
Do you
with
just
my
bonk
butt
them?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, the booty shake. But you know, like, you get up and up close and personal with people on the tube like you wouldn't do with your friends.
What?
And then
you're saying you wouldn't touch butts with me?
Well, I don't know what to say to that. Goodness me. Well, I'm blushing now.
Well, it's gotten all hot and flustered in here.
Oh yeah. Let's go touch butts.
Yeah.
Let's pause the podcast and go touch butts.
And then we'll do our challenges.
Okay. Just pretend that we've taken a break and touch butts.
Yeah.
So should we do challenges now?
Yes, let's do challenges.
Would you like to go first?
Yes. Okay, yes. Okay, I'll go first. Okay. Right, basically, you just did a talk.
I did.
About anxiety in games, and yeah, you talked about survival horror and why Mario 64 was a survival horror.
Yes.
Well, you're probably aware of the recent news about Konami and PT and Silent Hills basically getting pulled.
Yes.
And PT is going to be taken down, and there's going to be... And so I thought, well, there's going to be a big gap in the, you know, in the survival horror world, in the horror games. And I thought, well, how are we going to fill that gap? And I thought we could do something, because pretty much, you know, whenever we ask people who are we like, we always get Del Toro and Kojima. I mean, they look at us and think, well, that's them, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
pretty much.
So I thought we should come up with a survival horror game.
Mm-hmm.
And in your talk, you said that there's three things that make a survival horror game, and that's fear,
yes,
limitations,
yep,
and vulnerability.
Okay.
Okay, so we need to come up with a new horror game with those three things.
Okay, so...
Okay.
Okay, fear.
Yes.
What are we afraid of? What's scary? Exams. Exams are scary.
Exams are scary.
Okay, so it's a game about exams.
A game where at any point a quiz could just jump up.
Yeah, like you see the shadows of like quadratic equations on the walls and you're like, oh, is it going to be now? And
oh
it's
gosh,
like, no.
I'm already feeling kind of anxious about that.
And like you see pencils just rolling around on the floor.
Yes.
And you're like, did I drop those? Is my pencil case empty? Oh God.
But what's doing the things? Is it some kind of like spooky ghost, or is it a psychological thing?
Gonna be honest, I'm kind of imagining it like the Demon Headmaster.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're pretty much, so far we're copying the Demon Headmaster.
No. Because this all takes place in a haunted gym. Because that's where exams happen.
Okay,
it's a haunted gym.
So in a haunted gym, there's pencils swirling about.
Yeah, and there's like...
I just got an image of just like really slapstick comedy. Just, whoa, on these pencils.
No, you can... You know like in horror games, like you hear footsteps or you hear like little girls. Instead of that, you hear the noise of like clocks ticking.
Yeah. And you may now begin.
Yeah, just over and over again in the background.
Oh.
And the footsteps of invigilators in their little high-vis vests.
You had looking over your high-vis vests?
Yeah, they had really nice blue vests on.
What, just
really
in
jealous.
Case... What, just in case someone ran them over in the exam? Why would they have that?
Yeah, I don't really know, actually. I'm not sure what the high-vis was for.
No.
They also gave little speeches at the start of the exams.
What?
And some of them tried to be funny, and it's like, don't even
Why
bother.
Did that happen? My last... my first year of uni, our exams were in the XL... You know, the massive Excel. Basically, it has, like, huge, almost, like, you know, aircraft hangar-style rooms. They were in one of them. There was about 1,000 students doing an exam in one huge room.
Yeah.
It was, like, something like 1984 or something. So, like, the shutters would come down, and they'd be like, close.
And then these SWAT men came in on ropes and shot all of us.
But I made it out, and I finished my exam, and I did okay.
You did okay.
But no, and then they, like, project the, like, time, and it, like, flashes.
What?
And they go, you may now begin.
That's creepy.
Terrifying.
I'm going to be honest, when you said Excel, I thought you said my exams took place in exile. Like, they'd sent you to, like, the Middle East, and like, Holly, get out.
I just kept on screaming during the exams. I just kept on screaming out answers.
They put you in exile, as they do. I mean, that's, like, a common university punishment, is to send the pupils or students into exile.
Into exile. They banish you from the country.
Gap years.
Yeah,
nope, they're in exile.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what happened.
Back to
our thing. So we're in a haunted gym. There's pencils everywhere.
There's the ghosts of former teachers going around going, woo,
in their high-vis
shirt in, woo, put your blazer back on.
I'm not gonna lie, this is sounding very scary at this point in time.
Woo!
So you're making it scary by making the ghosts even more spooky.
Spooky ghosts! Yes. What's the next one? Limitations.
Yes.
You only have half a pen's worth of ink.
What? Oh, I was just about to say that. I was like, you have a pencil and it's wearing down.
Yes.
Yes.
So you have to make sure that every word you write is
counts.
An important word.
Yes.
You know, when I was doing a history essay back at school, I was quite new to the concept of essays.
Mm-hmm.
We had a word count And I'd said everything I wanted to say, and I was like, oh, I don't really want to edit this any more than I've already done. Yeah. So what I did was go back through the essay and hyphenate anything that could have been hyphenated.
What?
So everything just turned into really weird me inventing new hyphenated words because I was too lazy to edit it properly.
That sounds like more work. To go through and to hyphenate random words.
Yeah, I mean, it also looked like, you know when people like spell words wrong, you read it and like your eye catches on a word and you're like, oh, it's okay, they've just misspelled it. That, but in a completely different way that I don't think anyone would have ever done by accident. You don't accidentally hyphenate words.
No, you don't.
No.
Unless you get just like, you just really love clicking that button.
Oh yeah.
And it's really satisfying.
Hyphen. I mean, I do like hyphenating things, but this was this was overkill.
This is definitely overkill.
So, okay, so you're limited by your writing implement. And also you don't have a rubber. You don't have a rubber.
Yes.
And you've only got 5 sheets of paper.
I'm imagining it a bit like Okami. So when you write something, it does like, I don't know, like a little bit of damage to the ghost, but you only have so much like lead in your pencil, so you can't do too much.
Oh, are we actually damaging the ghost? I thought we were writing an exam. Or I'm a little confused.
I don't know.
Okay.
So it's your game, literally, we're doing an exam, but there's spooky ghosts and pencils moving around.
Let's imagine it a bit like Bloodborne, where there's bosses at certain bits. Well, a bit like any game.
Really. Okay, okay.
Or lots of little bosses.
Lots of little bosses.
Before you get to the main boss, who's the headmaster. And each boss is a different subject teacher. Whoa!
Oh my god.
So it's like GCSE. So your history teacher turns up, and they're like, woohoo! Civil War, woo! And then you're like, I'm ready with my pencil, but I've only got one pencil. And like, if you defeat them, you get a sharpener.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it like each like subject has a word which like, so like, I don't know, like history would be like anachronism, and it'd be like boom, A star, you know what that is.
Nice. Yeah. Yes. And and then you get to a later boss, and it's the geography teacher, woo! And he's all like, you can't use pencils. And you're like, no, but I literally only have a pencil. So you have to use your own blood.
What?
But you have to use it sparingly because you need your blood to live.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so far we have, we're in a haunted gym.
Haunted gym.
There's various teachers representing
pencils,
subjects.
Lots
there's pencils just moving everywhere. That was
like a sea of pencils.
You can't move for pencils.
You can't pick them up because they're ghost pencils.
You can't pick them up because they're poison pencils.
Poison pencils!
You get lead poisoning. Then like old 1950s pencils will kill you if you bite them.
And then there's a math teacher and he's like, woo! You got to use your calculator.
Why do they have all floppy hands? You're doing this weird,
no one
like,
can see that.
You're doing like the weird, ooh, like wavy hand, like people going outside, like car salesmen have.
That's what they look like. They're like those the waving inflatable tube men, but invisible.
Okay,
because they're ghosts. And he's like, yeah, you've got this calculator. You've got to do this math exam, but
it's running out of battery,
and the plus key doesn't work.
What?
Woo!
You have to try and write out boobs 15 times without the teacher catching you.
Oh, okay. So like those really rubbish Flash games where like they turn around and you have to stop.
Yes,
like, But a survival horror version of that.
Yes, you have to write boobs.
With mystery pencils everywhere.
Yes.
This does sound scary.
Okay, we need a title. Wait, what's the third thing?
We've done vulnerability.
Well, we've already kind of covered vulnerability.
Yeah, limitations and vulnerability kind of cross over quite a lot.
Yeah.
Vulnerability is all your friends are dead. There you go.
That is pretty vulnerable.
Yeah. They died in the Great Exam Fire of 79.
Of 79?
Yes.
Okay.
You're really old as well.
And then it turns out, and then you look in the mirror, and you're a ghost, and everyone else is actually normal, but you're haunting
Holly,
them.
You ruined the entire game.
Oh, sorry.
That's like going,
by the
way.
Mirror, you look in the mirror, and you're a pencil!
You're a pencil!
You're one of the pencils rolling around the floor.
Okay, and all your friends have been turned into pencils, and then you realise that it's just an endless cycle of becoming pencils.
But then someone picks you up and starts writing with you, and you know your time is closing.
And also that you're a poison pencil!
Yes, poison pencil. Okay, so what's the title of this amazing game that's going to replace Silent Hills? I hope Konami is listening to this, because this is a fucking A-star idea.
Something about lead.
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 Lead dead.
Lead Dead Redemption. That's great. That's such an original name.
I know,
love it.
Yeah. It's good. Lead Dead Redemption.
The lead obviously refers to the pencils. Uh-huh. The dead is all the dead people.
All the ghosts. And redemption, because you're trying to redeem yourself by doing well in your exam, but because, you're a pencil.
Why are you trying to redeem yourself? What did you do? Fail your exams?
Yes, that's why you're there. You're having to resit.
Okay, there you go. Buy Lead Dead Redemption out in all terrible shops when we get around to making it. Which hopefully is never. Are you ready for my challenge?
Okay, yes.
Was that your entire challenge, yes?
Yep. What do you mean, is that your entire challenge?
Weird, like,
was that it?
A prologue. The opposite of a prologue, an end log.
Okay, I'm slightly nervous for your challenge because you say it's filthy.
It's filthy.
Slightly worried about what it's going to be.
So,
okay,
you know how last week
yes.
I said that we had an explicit tag on the podcast?
Are we going to rap again? Because that was painful for everybody involved.
Don't worry.
Okay.
I mean, I'm saving that for a special live edition
of
Toku Does a Rap.
Toku murders rap.
The upsetting thing about that is people tweeted in with better versions.
Oh, yeah. People did parodies of us, but the parodies were better than what we did. So, I don't know where that leaves us.
It's not very helpful. No. People are like, look at this joke version. We're like, that's actually quite good.
Yeah, that's actually way better than what we did.
If we had an album, that would be like the second single, maybe?
I didn't understand is you messaged me going, do you have rhythm?
And you said no, and I was like, no, it doesn't matter.
Well, I have all right rhythm. I used to do, like, music stuff. Okay. But, like, what's rhythm got to do with, like, surely you should, like, are you good at rhyming?
I more meant, like, metrical stuff. Because, you know, like, those poems on the tube don't... Like
make, oh no, they don't scan at all.
They don't fit right.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating to read them because you're like, they're not right. But then I kind of screwed up the rhythm as well, so.
Well, yeah. I don't think we had any rhythm whatsoever.
No.
But when you said, do you have rhythm? I literally imagined, I don't know, like you were going to get me doing like something like Bop It or something.
Well, that would be amazing for the listeners to listen to.
Well, I don't know. Okay, right. What is your...
So... I thought we might try and be a little bit more explicit, because last time, we didn't really do explicit, did we? We dropped a couple of F-bombs, and that was about it.
Yeah, we tried very hard, but we're quite sad people,
so,
really.
I want to just preface this with, my mum listens to this quite a lot,
okay.
And various other relatives have told me they've listened to it.
Okay.
And look, you're not going to like this, relatives/mum.
Hello, Mrs. Grey. Your daughter's going to be filthy now. You may not want to listen to this.
I'm sorry.
She's looking at me and just winking.
Sorry. I'm not winking. I'm just touching your butt.
Oh, sorry.
Fine.
I made a mistake.
So earlier this week, I was on. You're going to know what this is instantly.
Okay.
I was on Time Out.
I knew it. I said it was going to be this. You were like,
I didn't want
you
to know. So I was looking at romantic restaurants because I thought, you know, you go on to Time Out and you look at top 100 restaurants and then you're like, oh, these
I need
are
to narrow this down.
Really expensive. Yeah. So I looked at romantic restaurants and in the suggested bit down the side, it was like, sexiest places in London. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, sexy restaurants. So I clicked on it. And basically, all it is people who you can pay to whip you, people who you can pay to smush profiteroles into your chest.
What? Into your chest?
Into your or face.
All orifices.
Yeah, and they also sit on cakes. That's a thing.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
And sex dungeons.
Of course.
Now, I was more than a little curious about this, because they
You said, I was went on looking at romantic restaurants, definitely wasn't looking at sex dungeons, and I happened to come across this sex dungeon.
Well, I was interested, because it essentially bills itself as a B&B, and it's like, oh, it's a B&B, just with, like, kinky stuff.
Just with sex.
Yeah, so I went to look at the website, and I was like, what? It's like proper like torture machines and stuff.
Wow.
But then because it's really British, it's also got like a tea station right next to the bed.
Oh,
it's adorable. And that's basically...
Is that like if Toku did a sex dungeon?
That's basically the concept of my challenge because you see, all of these...
I have to point out, I am feeling so unincredibly like sexy right now. I've got a migraine strip on, which looks like I've stuck a sanitary towel to my forehead.
We don't have to be sexy.
I've got a gross, floppy, broken toe.
Yeah. I'm pretty gross right now.
Yeah.
It's okay. Just imagine sexy things.
Okay.
So, basically, my challenge is, all of these, because it turns out there's more than one sex dungeon in London, because I had to look it up for this challenge.
Oh my god, this is the worst excuse for you just looking up sex dungeons.
I know, I was just looking up sex dungeons, because I'm thinking of starting my own.
I want to get a bit market research in there.
So basically, they all have reviews. Like, not many of them are on TripAdvisor.
Okay.
As it turns out. But they all have reviews. And the cute thing is, have you ever seen the TV show, I can't remember what it's called, Four Rooms?
Oh, Four in a Bed.
Four Rooms is a different thing about art. Four in a Bed.
Yes.
It's essentially a load of couples going to each other's B&Bs and being bitchy about
it's like,
it.
It's like Come Dine With Me, but with B&Bs.
And all they do is run their finger along things and go, oh, I found a pubic hair. That's pretty disgusting, isn't
That's
it?
That's how I spend 50% of my day anyway, so.
Yeah, in your own bedroom, it's like, this is filthy!
What is this? And then I have a go, and then I have a go at myself. I'm like, Holly, why are you judging me so bad? And then that's my day taken up.
Yeah, well, you see, Four in a Bed is very much, it's mean. But if you go on B&B reviews in general, they're all very cute. They're very much like, oh, we came downstairs and had a sausage sandwich and it was bloody lovely. And weirdly, sex dungeon reviews are just like that.
Okay.
Like, they aren't explicit. They don't mention
that it's a sex dungeon.
No, there's like slight hints, but that's as far as it goes. So our challenge is, we're going to read out these reviews.
Okay.
In as B&B reviewy a voice as we can do, like the one I just did.
Oh, no.
And the challenge is, you're not allowed to giggle.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm really hoping that this is something that makes you giggle, because some of these are really weird.
Oh, no. I've already had, like, two beers, so I'm a little bit giggly anyway.
You are wasted.
I am hammered. I'm just flopping about the place. My toes everywhere. I'm vomiting all over the place.
So I'm going to read the first one, because the way it works is that the last one is excellent.
Okay.
And unless you want to read the last one, which would you prefer?
I honestly don't mind it. It's your challenge. You go for it.
So if you giggle, you lose. But we're going to do all of them. So Master Lothian says, great S&M apartment.
Failed.
Sorry. The Hoxton Dungeon Suite is a lavish haven for serious kink and fetish fun. The two playrooms are impressively equipped with a tantalising array of devices to suit every need of the BDSM enthusiast.
This man has thesaurus.com open in the next tab. This is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Training my slave over a period of 2 days was an absolute delight. My bedroom was clean, fresh, and comfortable. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how my fat slave found sleeping in the cage, but that was part of his training. It certainly deserves the accolade of being a first-class Kingston's playground. And then underneath it says, Master Lothian is now a fan.
Well, obviously.
So now it's your turn.
Oh, God, it's huge. Okay.
Some of them are quite long.
Okay.
Enjoy.
My partner and I have both experienced some BDSM in the past, but we both decided we had to find a place to fully indulge our fantasies together in a way we simply couldn't at home. We decided to give it to Google and found Hoxton Dungeon Suites where... Okay, we should be sponsored by them, this website.
Yeah. We get onto others, it's okay.
After reading all the positive reviews and liking what we saw, we decided to book a night together at the dungeon. Needless to say, this was not just money well spent, but an investment. This place gives you access to fully indulge in your bondage fantasies. The apartment is a lovely place to stay.
Isn't that cute?
With a nice bathroom and a comfortable bed. A solid Victoria Wood. It was both clean and well kept, although we did not get a chance to meet Madame Caramel.
She's the lady that runs Hoxton Dungeon Suite. Just FYI. Apparently she's really nice.
Oh, but she sounds it. We could tell she puts her heart and soul into the work she does.
Oh, yeah.
The dungeon is equipped with things we were familiar with and things we had never used and even things we'd never known existed! We made full use of what we could during our session and we will certainly be returning to use different bits. The experience we had is unlike anything we have ever had before, and while writing this, I sat here with a smile on my face! Oh, my God, I thought I was going to say something way worse there.
Well, it does get worse, trust me.
My partner and I feel even closer than we did before. Words cannot express the happiness this place has given us. Thank you, Madame Caramel.
This is what I mean. It's just... They're essentially going, we had incredible kinky sex. He tied me up on a torture rack. It was great. But they're saying just,
the bedroom was lovely.
The bathroom was very clean.
It was wonderfully clean.
You know, the fact you couldn't tell that someone had just spunked all over it. That's
amazing, right?
Okay.
This was our first visit to the Hoxton Dungeon Suite, and we had the privilege to meet Madame Caramel herself when checking in.
When you say Madame Caramel, I just imagine like a Mario face. Like, hello, I'm Madame Caramel.
With like a really big like coif.
Yes, like a huge like kind of caramel coloured coif and like, oh my god. Okay, carry on.
She kindly gave us a full tour and explained what was what and what goes where. Although we're not vanilla by any means, we enjoy latex and TG parties.
Well, and what? Wait,
TG parties.
TG?
They're parties where, I don't know.
Oh god, see, this is where we're going to look like, people are going to be listening to this going, you don't know what TG party is, your fridge.
We are new to the BDSM hardcore scene, and some of the huge range of toys were frankly eye-boggling. We had booked
That's because she was looking at the eye-boggler.
Oh yeah.
We had booked two nights of the suite for a photo shoot for some lifestyle fun, and it was absolutely perfect. It was clear from the moment we walked through the door that Madame Caramel puts quality, hygiene, and comfort first, as everything was immaculate and of the highest quality. The ropes were a nice touch, as was the Prosecco. We only live a few miles away, but it was a pleasant change to come somewhere so far removed from our normal apartment.
Oh my god.
We particularly enjoyed the St. Andrew's Cross, the spanking bench, and the F machine kept Mrs. B very happy when I needed a breather.
It's strange, because we usually keep the eye boggler in the bathroom, but this time it was in the living room, and that was lovely.
We brought a large latex wardrobe with us, and our own toys.
See, when they say large latex wardrobe, I'm like imagining a wardrobe made of latex.
Yeah. That's obviously where they keep the toys.
Obviously, come on, sorry.
We only tried a couple of Madame Caramels, but everything everyone has previously said about how clean and hygienic it all is absolutely true. Love from T&D.
Oh my god.
Which probably stands for something terribly rude.
Oh god. Oh my god, they use the word lovely so much.
It's so British, they're like, oh, it was absolutely pleasant.
It was lovely.
I loved the bit with the butt plug.
I like the bit where the thing that went in there and it was nice. Okay, I'm going to do a high voiced one because you did one. I return to this lovely dungeon each time I come. I cannot believe that such a wonderful gem is hidden in this part of London. We had a lovely dinner in a nice bar before walking around to the easy to find dungeon, just a 5-minute walk away.
If you replace the word dungeon with B&B, it would be a perfectly normal review.
Easy to find dungeon. I've just got an image of this massive just sign. Madame Caramel.
That's the dungeon there.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's the one with all the ropes outside. Okay, as we walk through the door, the first smells you notice are of the cleaning products.
Why would you mention smells in a sex dungeon review?
Nice. Not in an overpowering way, but one that gives you an indication of the standards that Madame Caramel has here and the pride that she takes in her premises. As ever, we were greeted with a friendly smile and warm welcome. MC made my companion feel welcome and told him about the place and put him at ease. She set up the music to play in the background in the main room, but there was also an iPod dock in the smaller playroom to play music on. And she's a lot.
Details.
It's just the idea, like, what music would she play? Because of Madame Caramel, I'm imagining, like, my boy lollipop.
that's kinky. It's a secretly kinky song.
Could be. Okay, where is it up to? Okay, iPod dock. Okay, also an iPod dock in the smaller playroom to play music on, and she has a large TV in the relaxing bedroom, which you can watch TV or listen on the radio to. Since my last visit, HDS
now has soundproofing and the bedroom has been redecorated with a new bed. And never standing still, Madame Caramel has invested in a large cage that is easy for anyone to get in, regardless of their mobility and size.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
I understand she has bought several other new items, but I did not get round to looking for them, as there is so much there to use. As ever, she provided a bottle of this on ice and crisps and chocolates.
I love the crisps, I love them.
As if, I'm imagining, like she surprised party rings, yes. And a prawn sick.
I can't imagine any crisps that are sexy.
And chocolate in the fridge, and of course, tea and coffee making facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god! If you look at the screens from inside,
sorry, I kind of spat on your iPad.
Oh,
there.
That's okay.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're so disgusting. In the actual photos of the place, there's like it's all red and black and very like everything's padded and it all has whips and chains and straps. And then in the corner, there's like a kettle. I just love the juxtaposition of like, yeah, baby, we're going to do some... Oh, actually, hang on. Do you take one sugar or two? Okay, back to the spanking!
Just get like a calf kiss and cake tin out to go, oh, would you like... Well, you've got that butt plug in. Would you like a little cake?
A little cake.
Mistress Flora, this one's from. Mm-hmm. Returning to Hoxton Dungeon Suite for the third time is no less enjoyable or exciting than the previous two times that we've been here to play. As ever, everything is meticulously clean, and there are so many toys, ropes, and other fantastic equipment that it would take many, many visits to use it all at once. Now, they all talk about the variety of items as if, like, they're in some kind of... one of those creepy museums where someone's just collected loads of random shit and they're just like, stuff it in these shelves.
They're not actually using it. They're just like, we looked at it and...
and decided it was terrifying and went back home.
We looked at it and decided just to make a cup of tea and left.
This time, Madame Caramel had advertised a new piece of equipment, a fold-out suspension sling. Upon arrival, I was shown my treats... iced bottle of Prosecco and chocolates. And the suspension sling had been set up.
Where are the crisps?
As per my request. Not everyone... Oh, wait, hang on.
Okay. They're later. Wait.
The shower is nice and big, and the towels are lovely and fluffy, as are the bathrobes. This is the important stuff. This is typical of the attention to detail, which also includes... slippers and plenty of soft drinks and crisps to keep you going.
It's the one thing that I really hate in my sex dungeons is when they have really thin towels.
Oh yeah,
it really gets to me. And then when you're done having your kinky sex, you're like, I've got nowhere to put my feet.
The two main playrooms have an iPod dock so you can listen to your own music. But I was delighted that Madame Caramel had been thoughtful enough to leave her MP3s playing, as it was something less for me to bring, and it had an excellent selection of music for a wide range of moods.
Oh man, I want to know the music they play.
We should go.
Oh man, we should.
We could film a podcast in the sex dungeon. The bed, as ever, was very comfortable, and I was impressed that an extra blanket was provided. This was ideal to give the slave for sleeping in the cage.
What? Who are these poor slaves? You know, it's just never the slaves that are writing the review. The slave's like, yeah. I thought we were just going to a normal B&B.
One of them
I got put in a cage.
One of them was a switch. Which means she apparently does both.
Okay, okay.
And she wrote it from the perspective of the slave. So I can't remember if I've saved that one or not, but it does happen.
So there's dominant and submissive kind of changing about. I feel like I'm learning.
I believe this one has Dutch in it.
Oh, God.
So good luck with that.
Okay, I just had... Okay, right. I'm going to do it in a nice, low, sexy voice. Okay.
It has to be slightly Dutch.
I can't do Dutch accents.
Okay. Pretend.
Okay. Hello, Madame Caramel. I hope you're feeling better now. I like staying at your dungeon. You have so many toys, in inverted commas, that I can use on my slave, so I really enjoyed myself. Especially the taser I liked. What? What? Wonder if you can tell me where I can buy that one. It gave us an endorphin rush.
Okay. This is the Dutch.
Okay. My Gebruska statue was floating in subspace while locked in the latex body bag and vacuumed.
This is the
thing. What does that mean?
I don't know if something's been lost in translation.
My Gebruska statue.
Or if she's killed someone.
Was floating in subspace while locked in the latex body bag and vacuumed.
You know, those are just words. You know when you go around to your boyfriend's house and he's like, baby, I want to put you in the latex body bag in subspace and is vacuum.
I want to take my Gebruka sweatshirt and put it in the subspace. I'd like to come and visit London and your dungeon again sometime. I have to meet up with a few of the English slaves that I already know, or maybe some new ones. Greetings from The Hague, the Netherlands. Mrs. Samantha and her Gebruka sweatshirt.
I'm guessing that means slave.
It must mean slave.
But that's a really fancy word.
Wait, okay, so it says if it's just... Okay, my slave was floating in subspace while locked the latex body bag and vacuumed.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Like, she put her slave in a latex body bag...
in subspace.
While they were floating in subspace and vacuumed them. What do you not understand about that?
Sounds like something from Eraserhead. Sounds like this latex body bag floating in subspace. Alien porn.
This one's quite long. I hope it's good.
Look for any good blue sector.
Nom nom nom. I'm gonna skip that one. Looks boring.
Okay.
This one's from Norfolk.
Okay.
Sometimes I can do a Norfolk accent, but today I'm not gonna try.
Oh, come on.
The Hoxton Dungeon Suite is a lavish haven for serious kink and fetish fun. The two playrooms are impressively equipped with a tantalizing array of devices to suit every need of the BDSM enthusiast.
You sound like Michael Caine.
This is the one I've already read. It's exactly the same as the first one.
Okay, well, let's go to the next
God
one.
God damn
there we go.
It.
Okay, what's Michael Caine going to say this time?
Hello, I'm Michael Caine. I'm going to tell you about the Hoxton Dungeon Suite.
Madame Caramel is lovely.
She's wealthy.
I like it when I go into subspace with the Gebruka Slayer.
BDSM sounds exciting.
I'm really worried in case, like, everyone listening is going to be like, what, you don't know what that is? God, these guys are just a couple of fridges.
You know, subspace is a euphemism for butts.
It's just what you assume. If you don't know what it is, you guess...
It's a butt.
It's butt. It's definitely butt. Butt.
Okay. Mm. We hired Hoxton Dungeon Suite on the 5th of January and were met by the divine Madame Caramel.
The divine Madame Caramel.
You made Em and me so welcome and at ease immediately. The dungeon was first class and we both had an amazing time. My backside is still stinging. The whole process and experience is one that we will definitely want to experience time and again. Please pass on our best wishes to everyone involved and a big thank you to MC for making us so welcome.
Oh, it's really sweet. Like, pass on our best wishes to everyone.
Thanks, my bum hurts.
Thank you, my bum hurts. Okay, I'll try and read this one in as straight a voice as possible.
You can do it.
Okay, right. Okay, get out of my system. Okay. I had the good fortune to spend a night here after Club Black Whip. It is a lovely ground floor flat right in the middle of Hoxton with a kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, changing room and a huge dungeon. Everything is very new and clean and it has nice minimal style to it, even the dungeon, although that is also full of every kind of toy and piece of equipment you could ever need. I had one of the best nights sleep I've ever had in the incredibly comfy bed, because that's the important thing about a sex dungeon. It would be worth staying there even without the dungeon.
That's creepy, isn't it?
It would be worth
the dungeon
there.
Was nice, but as a B&B, it's also quite satisfactory.
The dungeon was nice, but I really like the beds. If I was Madame Caramel, I'd be a bit pissed off with that. It's like, I've got the subspace floating with the latex wardrobe. Now it's time. Oh no, you're asleep. Okay, fair enough.
Fine. Next time I'll put spikes in the pillows. Jeez. So this one's a review from Yorkshire's Glamour and Sparkle, which I like to assume is one of those, like, magazines that you get through, like, a parish magazine through your door.
Yeah, I already see emojis, so...
Am I going to have to act out the emoji with voice. Okay. It's a joint review, so we're getting both the male and the female perspective.
Can we do...
Would you like to be Master Glamour or Kitten Sparkle?
Can I be Master Glamour?
Of course you can. Okay,
Master Glamour sounds like the
you
best
begin.
Person.
Okay. Okay, do a Yorkshire accent.
I can't remember. What does Yorkshire sound like now?
Master
pudding. Glamour says, I chose the London Serpent Rooms after reading some reviews online and exchanging emails with the Dungeon Keeper. It's gone a bit Geordie, but oh well.
Yeah, that's right. It's Northern. Okay. It's fine. It's all the same.
The dungeon is very convenient to the tube network, and the booking process was simple with great communication all along. On arrival, I was aware that we would be met outside, and this only meant a few moments loitering on the pavement. Our tour was brief but comprehensive, and we were left alone to explore and play. We booked 4 hours, and this was perfect for our first visit. We had plenty of time to try out what we wanted to, and everything was to hand and working fine. All in all, 2 very satisfied customers emerged a few short hours later.
Okay. Short hours, Master Glamour?
Yeah, it sounds like, you only lasted a few hours.
I can't do a Yorkshire accent. What does it sound like? That just wasn't.
It started off Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And then it just turned into Geordie, kind of.
I can't do...
Just do generic Northern.
I can't, I'm terrible at accents.
Just do any accent.
I was lucky to visit Toot Serpent Rooms with my master as a... master as a treat and loved the layout of Toot Dungeon.
Toot Dungeon.
Toot Wall Shackles and Toot Spanking Bench were definitely my favourite. Toot Collection of Whips, Robes, and especially Toot Toys was amazing. The Toot Toys. And I felt spoiled for choice. Happy face. Toot Serpent Rooms also came with its own mini kitchen for a tea break.
What is their obsession with mini kitchens and dungeons?
This is a different dungeon now. This is the Serpent Rooms.
Okay, that seems
they all
to be
have
requiring.
Tea dungeons.
Okay.
A shower room for afterwards. There was also a bedroom upstairs which looked nice, but we didn't get a chance to use it. I definitely want to visit again and would recommend to people who need some private space for Toot playtime.
Toot playtime.
Do you want to read this one now? We're still in the Serpent Rooms.
Okay, we're still in the Serpent Rooms.
Yes.
Okay. God, they're obsessed with... Okay, right, okay.
This one, I don't think, has crisps.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they better mention tea rooms,
so
otherwise
bear
I
that
am
in
not
mind,
sold.
If you guys are looking for a sex dungeon and you want crisps, go to Hoxton.
Yeah, don't go to Yorkshire if you want crisps with your
this
sex.
This one's in London. It
it
just happened
it
to
Yorkshire.
Be from Yorkshire.
Oh, I thought it was in Yorkshire.
No, I haven't checked Yorkshire sex dungeons.
I was about to say, that's very specific research of you.
That can be next
podcast. I'm looking at London, but it wasn't satisfactory, so I went to Yorkshire, the sex slave capital of the world.
Well, not many people know that.
Yeah, that's just...
A Yorkshire pudding is a filthy sex
That's
act.
Just what we learn as Northerners, they tell you it. Okay. Having never used a dungeon before and being new to the scene, I was quite apprehensive about making contact and trying out a booking at the Serpent's Room with my play partner. Play partner sounds fun until they say, I come out of a sore bum. And it's like, oh, it doesn't sound as fun anymore.
They put things in places where things shouldn't be.
I've lost the Vahuga Schlicker. I don't know where it's gone. It's still floating.
You vacuumed my body bag.
Still floating in subspace. Oh, God. We normally meet up every few weeks for a session at my place or a hotel, so a new venue, that we could meet at during the day was the added benefit of a whole heap of kit to explore was exciting. Neither of us were sure that it was particularly our thing, but we were both up for trying some things out. From the first email, the Serpent was efficient and very helpful and put me at complete ease, explaining what to expect, what to bring, etc.
Crisps,
so we don't have them here. You want to go to Hoxton for crisps?
Bring your own crisps.
We don't give you crisps here. Don't be ridiculous.
Tea? Maybe. Crisps? No.
Where was I? Okay. On the day of the visit, we were met by the manager, who was helpful with a very easy manner explaining how everything worked before leaving us for the session. We played in the downstairs room for the 2 hours, trying out and enjoying the various toys, slings, paddles, etc.
Like them building a Lego castle.
I know, it's like we played with the toys in the playroom. And I'm just like, oh my God, I want
to
have
so
Lego. We should go and be like, I was expecting
what
something
are these?
In families.
What is this horrible stuff? Oh God.
Everything.
Everything was clean and well maintained, and had a lot of fun was had. Oh, nice turn of phrase. We've been back for another session and have booked one book too. Would recommend thoroughly for the price of Premier Inn. I know where I will be playing instead in the future. Oi oi.
Now I just don't want to go to a Premier Inn.
Yeah, no.
Because I know that
might
they're
as well
being
go
like
to a sex dungeon.
Might as well. Genuinely though, some of their prices are ridiculously low for a London hotel, and I was like, "How?" But sex equipment is probably really expensive.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, yeah. You think it would be like way more expensive? It's quite a niche market, or maybe it isn't. Maybe we are just massive fridges.
If you're ever in Hoxton and you need a nap, maybe some crisps.
You need a nap and some crisps and medium blitzkrieg later. Yeah, and we got you covered.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah. I mean, if you went in there on your own, people might be a bit like, "What? What? We've got quite..."
Jesus!
It's fine!
How much research did you do?
This is all in one place. It's
okay,
fine.
Okay.
That one's boring, so we'll skip that one. That one I appear to have overcropped. So, oh no, this is the one I really like, because I had to cut out a lot, because this one was the only filthy one I could find.
What?
They describe in detail what they did.
Oh my god, okay, I'm excited. Dungeon. I'm excited, okay.
I don't go into all the detail.
You have to do it in the most prim voice possible.
My first experience was when my master took me there for a night of punishment. It was lucky that for this visit we had all night, as my master had to spend a couple of hours among the dazzling array of whips, canes and paddles alone, before settling upon ones to his taste. The result was that my flesh was already red and sore, a fitting appetizer for the main menu when he started into more serious torture, where he was again spoilt for choice by all the cruel and interesting instruments on offer. I would advise anyone visiting for a few hours to avail of the facility of viewing beforehand.
Oh my god.
Otherwise valuable torture time could be lost, testing and choosing.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Though this can be exciting in itself. The night for him, my master told me, flew as he romped enthusiastically between the whipping stool, the torture bench, sling, wince, and the inversion table.
Romped is a word that should definitely be used.
It's adorable.
Okay, my two new favourite verbs are romped and whapped. If someone doesn't whap,
there was whapping as well.
Yeah.
For me, as all victims of the torture chamber, the night was deliciously interminable, as I suffered merciless caning and flogging on the stool, and shackled uncomfortably against the stone wall, trapped like
stone.
a stone wall. Yeah.
Jesus.
Trapped like a fly in the swaying
sling. I don't know why that was the thing that shocked me.
Stone!
It was plaster.
That's just inhumane.
It's like stone against what, in shackles? In S&M?
Hours of hooded misery on the winch, being subjected to long periods of exciting sexual teasing, interspersed with short, sharp and unexpected periods of intense pain. And then it just went on into her talking about being boned. So,
nice.
This one's for you.
Oh, God.
Oh, this one starts with a nice... This is how I
this is a different
sounds.
Sex dungeon again, and these ones were all really cute.
Yeah, this one does look pretty cute.
I think they were all personal emails that they didn't know were going on the website.
Yeah, that's what it looks
quite
like.
Can we come again? We really liked the sex, please.
Yes. Okay, so, hi, Patricia. Thank you. From Safi and myself for letting us use your special B&B on Wednesday/Thursday.
Special B&B. That's what Mummy calls it.
Fantastic place. A lot of effort and love must have gone into it. Well, yeah, a lot of love. Mm-hmm. There's so much love. There's love
That's
over the walls in that place.
Oh, imagine taking like a black light in for sex dungeon.
To be fair, any hotel, probably.
True.
Okay. S looked after us really well. All thanks to him. Thanks also for arranging the lesson with K. Really good lesson.
Yeah, I think this one has like bondage lessons or something.
Okay. Well, yeah. That makes sense because you want to learn how to do it without, you know, hurting someone properly,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's nice. I like this place. This place is good. I like it so far. It has Madame Caramel to beat, though. So
oh,
I can't...
she's a lovely lady, Holly.
She is, and she provides crisps.
Crisps.
Exactly.
Delicious.
That's really good. We both enjoyed it, although I'm not sure I would let Safi loose on me again. That she said lose on me, but I'll go, I think it's loose on me with the ropes without more tuition.
That sounds dodgy, doesn't it? Like,
it
she
does.
Nearly killed me.
She keeps on trying to kill me. But it's just because she hasn't had enough lessons.
Yep.
It's another X. Sorry, she used a lot of exclamation marks. I got confused. So, again, many thanks. We hope to be back soon. Regards, P.
Regards.
Regards.
Imagine writing regards on a sex dungeon review. So cute.
When I was reading that, I did one of those little, like, throat gurgles. It sounds like cow. So I hope people pick that up.
That's how great you're finding this challenge.
Yeah.
Hi. We would just like to say thank you very much for a fantastic stay. Best so far by miles. I really loved it all. Hope we didn't leave too much mess. We definitely will be returning. Thank you very much again, Patricia, A and L.
Jesus Christ.
And you get my favourite one.
Oh, it's the last one.
My favourite one.
Oh my God, I like anything that I've... Oh my God, I just saw croissant and yeah. I know it's going to be my favourite. Okay, what kind of voice should I do it in?
I just like imagining them all as like a really cute old couple.
Yeah.
That like just really like, I really enjoyed the whipping bench.
Well, I like as that.
Don't tell my grandson.
As that, I really liked the tea and also the bed was nice. Oh, and I guess, yeah, the sex was okay too.
Yeah.
Okay. Many thanks for the use of your venue. We had a great time and hopefully you found it reasonably tidy in the morning. I'm sorry we were unable to stay for the croissant and breakfast. Maybe next time. You probably worked out the various items we played with from the contents of the box. But the range was broad and more than sufficient for our needs. Other than the range of nipple clamps, floggers, etc., the rack, the Venus 2000. What is the Venus 2000?
Google time!
That sounds magical.
Oh, I think it's going to be something more than magical.
The Venus 2000. Yeah, it goes on to say, the Venus 2000 and the large body bag provided were great fun. When my husband finally died, I could get rid of him in a hygienic manner. What is that?
I'm not sure because all of these things are different. One of them appears to be some kind of...
domestic dosing unit. That's not sure. It, surely.
One of them's like a metal bikini.
Yeah.
One of them's a sort of...
That's not.
Painful.
Yeah, no, that's not it. That can't be it.
I think it's the male pleasure machine. Now, some of them did list, among the items that they had, milking machines. And I believe that this might be one of those milking machines.
Oh my God, it looks terrifying.
Do you really want to enjoy the same pleasure of sex without doing anything at all? Yeah. You know when you're just like, you know what's great about this? The bit where I don't do anything.
What I really like about sex is just not doing anything and just having a really weird milking machine near me.
It looks
terrifying. It looks like it's homemade.
Medical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no! Demonstration!
No! Close the website! Oh God, we should do questions now because I'm sorry.
Let me finish this one last sentence. Come on. So I'll go from, other than the range of nipple clamps, floggers, etc., the rack, the Venus 2000, and the large body bag proved to be great fun. I did manage to avoid the underbed cage. Oh, okay. I'm sure we'll be back in due course. Thank you.
An underbed cage? Is that the cage that all the
that
slaves
must be
where
the slave sleeps in, yeah.
That would be so uncomfortable.
Not if you had the Venus 2000 for company.
And the extra blanket.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And you were in subspace. Okay, let's move away from this dark place.
Well, we have some lovely questions, all of which are because they've asked us these, you know, before listening to what we just did.
Yeah,
they're all very much like, oh, you guys are lovely, let's talk about biscuits, and we've just read sex dungeon reviews, so yeah. You know, okay. Just Another Gaming Blog says, a world without ducks or a world without biscuits?
A world without biscuits.
I agree.
Because ducks are living things.
Yeah, we can just have cakes instead.
Yeah.
And ducks are amazing.
Yeah.
They're all fluffy.
Done. Answered.
Jake says, Silent Hills, what's your opinions?
Well, we know what's happening because it's going to be replaced by Lead Dead Redemption.
Dead Redemption. The story of haunted pencils.
In a gym.
Matthew Jones says, answers... I've missed out his question.
Okay.
The endless... Wait. It is 2117. The endless biscuit wars rage ever onwards. Who is the last biscuit standing?
Now, chocolate hobnob.
Is this like the chocolate hobnob. Toughest biscuit?
Chocolate hobnob is the...
Yeah, it's rugged.
Toughest of all the biscuits.
Rugged biscuit.
It is. It's a proper rugged biscuit.
But he does say answers can take into account things like flavour, price, dunkability and access to nuclear weapons.
Chocolate hobnob, because we all know that's got access to Poseidon. But there we go.
What?
No, like, wasn't it like some... What did I just... I mean, what do I mean?
Trident?
Trident! Poseidon!
Yeah, I thought this was some weird joke about Poseidon. Hobnobs being chums with, like, sea gods, and I didn't know if that was a reference.
I don't know why my brain just went to Trident and went, no, Trident is a stupid name for a nuclear weapon. I'll call it Poseidon.
Trident is a variety of gum, so what's wrong with you?
I don't know. My brain is boggled,
yeah,
and I boggled.
Two beers.
I've had two beers and I've read sexy
You're
reviews.
A very small lady.
Yeah.
Ben Cameron says you've been titled Lords of Sweeties.
Mm-hmm.
What sweetie does everyone in the country wake up to as a free treat?
Why
am I giving out? That's not how, like, the feudal system works. It's not like, hey, guys, money for everyone.
No, it's I tax you heavily.
Yeah. Give me all your sweets and mine the sweet coal mines. The licorice mines.
My favourite sweets are the one, when you lived in Bath and I visited you, we always used to go to that tiny little, like, adorable little sweet shop. Mm. And they had in there these, like, what the fuck are they called? I always forget. They're rhubarb and custard, but they're like these
little... Oh, the squashy ones.
Yeah, the little, like, tubes.
Squashy rhubarb custard
tubes.
Things.
They're not, like, they're not gummy sweets. They're, like... Like, almost like sugar paste,
yeah.
I think. Is that what it's called?
Like rhubarb and custard icing, kind of.
Yeah,
the tougher, better. Anyway, those, yes.
Yeah, they're great. Then, whatever they are.
But we're not giving them to everyone else.
No, because I want them. Screw you guys.
He also says, you're transported into one movie. You can't interact with anyone, but you can see and hear it all. What movie or scene?
Edward Scissorhands.
We were talking about this earlier, mm-hmm. replacing hands with other body parts. So we've got Edward Scissor Eyes.
Edward Scissor Eyes.
It's about him, like, he can't see, so he goes to get glasses,
it's just him,
and he just smashes them.
It's just him screaming.
Screaming endlessly.
His eyelids are just shredded.
Yeah.
It's like something out of American Horror Story.
Yeah. Edward Scissor Feet.
Yeah.
He just can't wear shoes. That's
he goes ice skating.
And he cuts it all up into beautiful patterns.
Exactly. Like, Edward Scissorhands does that with ice, but he, like, ice skates over it and turns it into beautiful ice sculptures.
And then we started putting Scissorhands into other films, like mm-hmm. The Curious Case of Benjamin Scissorhands. He's got two problems. He's got like, the aging thing, and he's got scissors for hands.
Do you think when he's little, he has, like, those little tiny, like, baby
safety scissors?
And then as he gets older, they get, like, rustier and, like, haggard, and he has just, like,
like, garden shears.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's the film we're gonna make.
Have you noticed how all our films/games are all based off other things?
That's how
creativity works.
Yeah. Stealing.
Yeah.
Nuke Summerhaze says, when Holly does inevitably become a pirate, because you're hobbling. How
yeah,
do you know?
It's because I tweeted earlier saying that this is just a step in the... Because when I was little, I was threatened with having to wear an eye patch. It's like,
wait,
like,
did you have a gunky eye? Or were they just like, Holly, eat your vegetables, or we'll make you wear an eye patch?
Well,
because that's a creative punishment.
Yeah, my school was just very creative with its punishments.
Cut one of your legs off.
Yes, my eyes don't work together. One of them's long sighted, one of them's short sighted. So the optician, that's what it's called, said that I might have to wear an eye patch for a while to make the other eye work harder.
Okay.
So I just thought it was just like, I'm always just like one slight injury away from just becoming a pirate. So I'm hobbling at the moment.
What's your pirate name going to be?
Holly.
That's too cute. It's too cute for the pirate
name. That's
my
name.
It would be like,
Grouchy Gums McGee.
Oh. Are your gums grouchy? Where's McGee come from?
I don't know, but McGee is my go-to comedy second name.
You've got to pick, in fact, I'm sure there's a pirate name generator.
Must be.
Let's pirate name generator.
Okay.
The shit out of you. Okay, enter your name.
I see what it did
Holly
there.
Holly Nielsen.
There we go.
You're a lady.
I am.
Generate Pirate Jane the Pink. Now that
sounds
shit. Disgusting.
Pirate Jane the Pink sounds like something you'd find in the Hoxton sex dungeon.
That's true. I'm going to try mine because I want to be a pirate too. And he didn't ask me if I wanted to be a...
Barnacle Breath Helga.
Barnacle Breath
Helga. That's amazing. Okay, well, that's our pirate name.
Also, parrot or monkey?
Monkey.
Parrot.
What?
But I'd get, like, a duck. And I'd be like, isn't there...
Well,
yeah,
no, that's not part of it. It's parrot or monkey. You can't just change parrot
to duck.
But
have you seen Pirates in Adventure with Scientists? They've got a dodo and they think it's a parrot. I would be like that, but without...
No, because it has to be a parrot.
And it would sit on my shoulder.
Has to be a parrot.
Whatever.
My monkey would be badass.
Greg S. says, if you could have your gender swapped for 24 hours, how would you spend it?
Have a wank.
Just flopping it around.
That's pretty much it. You just be like, woo!
Yeah, I would helicopter it. What else?
I love swapping gender. It would just, it.
My wang.
My
lady wang.
Your lady wang.
I would do that thing where you cut a hole in a watermelon and put it in.
Oh god, I thought you were going to say something awful there. I'll do that very well. You cut a hole and then I thought you were just going to leave
in
it
in a woman.
Ah!
And
no,
in
stop!
A dead wolf. And no. I'd get a jar of mayonnaise and I'd put it in that. I'd essentially just go around putting my wang in stuff.
Yeah.
So I want to know what it feels like.
I always remember, there's like, it's a comedian. She was saying, she was talking to like two really old women about, you know, what would you do if you were a man for a day? And one of the women just went, knowing my luck, it would be a Tuesday. And what could you do on a Tuesday?
that's true.
That's fantastic.
Just like watch Jeremy Kyle and play with yourself.
Well, that's pretty much all we would do, play with ourselves. Yeah. That's pretty much what we've decided.
Yeah. What can you do as a man that doesn't involve flopping your wang around and putting it in things?
Pee standing up.
That does involve your wang.
That's true. You wouldn't have boobs, so you could go around topless without society judging you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go and sit on the tube with my top off and just touch my nipples one by one.
And make a little
boop,
song.
Boop, 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 boop. And see if anyone ever did anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would just flop my wang out and just move about. It's not on the tube. I'm not horrible to it. So come on. Come on, Kate.
So that's what we'd do. We'd essentially try and freak people out and I'd stick my dick in things.
I'll put my penis in various things.
Because you know when like you put your hand in like a bag of peas or something, you're like, this feels fun. Yeah. That, but your actual...
I think the world is... Well, it's that thing. If there's a thing which has a vague hole, a man has put his penis in it.
Ew.
Yeah, that's just a thing.
Moving on.
That I have decided because that's moving what I would do quickly. As a man.
Just a man. Not all men. Like, yeah. Not all men have stuck it in like a plug socket.
No, I'm doing the Freud thing of I felt like this, therefore everyone must feel like this.
My mum's hot, therefore all your mums are hot.
I want to bury all your mums.
Phil Walters says, good news!
Uh-huh.
You're the new Top Gear presenters!
Oh, is it? Okay.
Please describe your first episode. Well, how much do you know about cars?
Fuck all, so I'd play Mario Kart and just talk about Mario Kart.
I think we should just bullshit about cars. Yeah. Like, you know the bit where they're sitting in a car and they've got a camera in the seat next to them? And they're like, this car!
I can't even drive! So I'd just be like, I've wasted that.
Well, oh my god, I know what I'd want.
Yes, I would want like the really bad green screen you have in early.
And you're going like, vroom, vroom, vroom.
And go, so Kate, go press the Thunderdome button. And then you'd be like, no. And I go, this lovely little pipe of dreams has a great acceleration.
Are you calling a car a pipe of dreams?
I'm thinking of a word from the exhaust pipe.
Oh, dear.
And I went for pipe of dreams.
Pipe of dreams.
If your dreams are horrible monoxide filled.
Wow. You're fired. You're fired.
What time is it? We need to check the time. We've been rambling on for a while.
More questions? We've only got a handful more. Go on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ben Ted says, Herschel Layton comes for dinner. What do you feed him? How do you entertain him? And what kind of tea do you serve? Darjeeling.
Lapsang Souchong.
What do we feed him?
I would feed him...
Biscuits.
I would feed him... A kind of
soup.
A pie.
But
a
you steak, have to solve a puzzle.
A steak and kidney pie.
The crust is a puzzle.
Yes. The crust is a crossword.
A crust word?
A crust word! Oh my god! There we go. Done. Boom.
How do you entertain him? Well, that's
but the crust word.
Crust word. Yeah. Yep. Done. Easy peasy. Best in, I guess. Now the next question is about Avatar. And you haven't seen Avatar?
No, I haven't.
The Last Airbender. But have you seen any of the hybrid animals?
Oh, we talked about it in like the first episode.
If they were real, what would you want as a pet? Now,
we talked about this
turtle
in the episode.
Ducks. Turtle I watched ducks. One of the episodes the other day with turtle ducks. Like, imagine tiny little ducks with a little turtle shell.
Okay, that's cute. That's cute. I like that.
They're adorable.
Okay,
adorable.
I would want a... I don't know why, but because you went for something so cute.
Yeah.
I tried to think of something horrible, so I went for gorilla crab.
Okay, which part of it is a gorilla? Which part is a crab?
I'm imagining, like...
I'm going to draw what I'm imagining this like after the podcast. Yes,
okay, gorilla crab. It has to have the face of a gorilla. Like a really angry gorilla face, but with little like feelers. And then gross. Just like... And then it has to have gorilla hands with claws in the end. And then just like a kind of just like shell... But it has to have little crab legs that scuttles around like bloop, 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 and can only go sideways.
Okay, gross. Okay, so how big is it?
It's the size of a gorilla.
It's the size of a gorilla. Yes. Okay. Oh my God.
It's the ultimate killing machine.
Oh my God. Tom Rozelle says, if you were in a foom, you're in a foom, picture the foom, you're fighting with your doppelganger and the other half of your podcast, that's me, had a gun with one bullet in, what would you say to convince me that you're the real Holly Kate?
I would shout out a kind of something cryptic, like, Kate, the loose version of her is lost in deep space, or whatever the fuck it was.
And I'd be like, she's talking nonsense, she's the clone, pew!
Okay, I'll go, Kate, well, how much does the clone know? Does it have my memories?
Yeah, that's what I always wonder about.
Because if it doesn't have my memories, I could say, like, anything that we've, like, done together.
Yeah.
And then you would be like, well, yeah, she knows that.
He said doppelganger rather than clone, which is just a person that looks like you. And why are you fighting them, Holly? That's what I'm going to say to you. I'm like, Holly...
Because I'm threatened by anything that looks vaguely like me.
Why are you fighting this stranger, Holly?
It's why I attacked Jared Leto on sight. Oh, no, I don't look anything like Jared Leto. I don't know why I went for Jared Leto.
Justin Bieber.
It's because he annoys me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really don't like Jared Leto.
Well, you can attack him. That's fine.
Yeah.
Coffee Jesus says, if you could replace any relative with Charles Dance, whom would you choose and why? I'm glad we got to this question because I have an answer.
I love Charles Dance. Okay, my favourite thing about Charles Dance is the way his name sounds in a West Country accent. Ooh, Charles Dance. Charles Dance. It's Charles Dance. So I would have him.
Why is that a thing you know about?
Because there was a sitcom on the BBC ages ago called Jam in Jerusalem, which was a Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French sitcom. And it was really lovely. It was like quite twee, but it was really good. And they get Charles Dance to talk at their like WI meeting.
Yeah.
And then the Dawn French character has a really... has a really strong West Country accent. And it just always stuck in my head of, ooh, Charles Dance. And now whenever I watch Game of Thrones and he comes on, I have to say it, and it really annoys everyone.
See, my answer for this, and I'm hoping you're going to like
this. Oh, I didn't answer. But
yes,
you
didn't. You just talked about Charles Dance.
No, you can't do it. It's Charles Dance. Ooh, Charles Dance.
Charles Dance. I think, rather than replacing a relative, I would very much like our Lizzie dogs to have the voice of Charles Dance. Can you imagine that? Because they're both kind of insane and a little bit stupid.
They're both incredibly derpy dogs.
Yeah, but they'd be like, Holly, I think I need to pee. And you'd be like, okay. Holly, see, could you pass me that ball, please? I'd quite like to play fish.
See, mine would be like, it would be like, Holly, can you pass me the toy frog? I feel like humping something. Which I would quite like to hear in a Charles
And you'd be
Dance
like, Charles Dance, no, don't hum things, it's weird.
Just do it.
All of our weird voice things are about Game of Thrones so far. Purple Chair says, what game series would you like to see given the PT treatment, i.e. a full art house teaser demo released and nothing else? Is that a good thing?
And yeah, that's the thing. God, I'm not
Bayonetta.
But then you wouldn't get the actual game. You'd just get an hour-long thing. That's the thing. This is a really difficult question. Because it's like, do you go for something that you don't really want because it stops? Or do you want something that's kind of different and weird?
World of Warcraft.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's a good one because I would never play that otherwise.
Yeah.
Something that I would never... Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's a good one. I like that. World
and
of Warcraft.
It would be a corridor filled with men and goblins.
It would be a corridor just filled with angry people. Oh, no, but it's World
of
Warcraft.
I know nothing
angry.
About World of Warcraft.
No,
this is not a good choice.
I literally know nothing.
It'd be full of helmets. There you go.
Hello.
It's helmets. That not that like, good of
that
helmet!
That sounds like the Hoxton Dungeon again.
No. We've gone past that.
Sorry.
Athene Allen says, which biscuit would last longest dunked in tea?
We've done this, chocolate hobnob.
I would like it if this was a regular feature or something. We're not allowed to say the words regular feature.
Oh, sorry.
Because we have signed a contract.
This would be a repeated editorial.
Yes. I don't think we're going to make biscuit dunking a regular feature because it's not a very interesting thing to listen to. Like, you'd get the sort of splishy sounds.
Unless we could just make the sounds now, like bloop, bloop.
That's the noise biscuit makes. Yeah.
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 We should probably wrap up.
A sound biscuit dunked in audio tea.
Ooh, nice. That's pretty much what our podcast is.
See, when I tried to do that a couple of weeks ago, it made fun of me.
That's because you included ears. You were like, dunk your sound ears into our biscuity. And it's like, ew, no, don't involve ears.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, right, we should probably wrap up.
Yeah!
Thank you for listening, and remember to follow us both on Twitter. I am at Nielsen_Holly, NIELSEN_HOLLY. People always get that wrong.
And preemptive anger. Nice one.
It's been building up for a while.
And I am Kate Gray, at How Not to Draw. How not to draw, okay? Not how to not draw, okay? Don't go splitting your fucking infinitives.
It's spelled HOWNOT, then a 2, number 2.
No, it's not! God damn it, Holly!
And then draw is spelled like D-R-O-O-R, okay? The classical spelling of draw. No, come on, people.
Remember that, or I'll punch you in your sound ears. What else? We've got a Twitter for Toku Podcast, which is Toku_podcast.
And then we're on almost every other kind of social media as Toku Podcast.
Except, there's one we're not on, at least.
MySpace.
Google Plus, we're not on Google Plus.
We're not on MySpace.
Oh, we are on Google Plus. That was a lie. We have a Gmail account.
We do.
It's tokupodcast@gmail.com.
Email us. Please. Or maybe, I don't know, depends what you're emailing us.
If you can send us a question, that'll be fine. We're doing a really long wrap again.
We need to think of a quicker way. Okay, right. We're going to say bye now.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.